Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Hour number one of the G-Bag Nation. How you feeling? How's Gavin Dawson's soccer team going to be doing today? 877-881-1053. What's your Maverick confidence meter that they're going to find a way to get off the schneid tonight? It's a 6:30 TNT tip at home against the Miami Heat, who are really hot right now. Can the Mavericks go ahead and weather the storm? And what's your Cowboys' optimism that maybe, just maybe, they will do something next week in free agency? Because mine is not very high. Zach Wolchuk alongside Brian Broaddus. Gavin Dotson, of course, on coaching duty. Eric Chiafalo is on family duty this week. We've got Lucius Alexander. We'll have an extended LA Live. I'm pumped about
that. I was excited about that. I know when I came in today, I made chicken tamale pie for everybody today at the office. And so I walked in there, told Lucius it's ready and all, and I said, "Hey man, I heard you got the whole stretch today." He's like, "Yeah, but we'll be fine." And I'm you know what? It'll be the best part of the show today.
Hell yeah.
Will be that 5:20 to 6 o'clock when Lucius is running that thing.
Yeah, don't do all of that, man. Don't get the hopes up that much.
But right.
Yeah, it should be
Let
fun.
Me tell you what.
It
under under promise, over delivery. No, yeah. Lucius delivering, Cowboys not in free agency.
Right.
Which one do you trust most?
I trust Lucius delivering more.
Me too.
I was like, damn it, it's just, you know, it's me and Brian today.
Yeah.
We're down two. We got Lucius, of course. And I'm like, Lucius, I feel like you run out of time during LA Live. Maybe you've got some extra stuff. Do you want to just take the entire expressway?
Got a few things. So got a few things we can get into.
That's going to be a party.
Yeah, I'm excited. Around.
That will be a party.
What time does that start?
5:20.
I should get on it, huh?
5:25-ish. Yeah,
I'll be
yeah.
back.
Well, we'll try not to bother you too much as you prep for that. That's going to be a blast. Mavericks are in action tonight.
Yeah.
They're taking on the Heat. We talked about that during Crosstalk. The Heat are a team that's been pretty hot here lately. Now, they did also, after the trade deadline, go on a bit of a losing skid. But they've won 7 of their last 8, 11-14. Mavericks are going the other way.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Is there any type of solace that we can look at the Heat and be like, maybe we can replicate that? Maybe the Mavericks can be a team that, you know, went 7 in a row. Now they're certainly dropping 4 of 5, but can they find a way to turn it around?
Yeah, I think there's always ways of finding your footing as you're going along. What bothers me is that there just seems to be, it's the same pattern every night that, you know, maybe you get your, whether you shoot well, seem to have success, you don't shoot well, then it's on Kyrie and Luka to kind of carry the load that way. They don't play particularly great defense, as we all know. That's been a struggle. You know, we've had people on talking about various things, you know, weak side defense, rotations. I'm trying to reach out and talk to guys over there, and they're like, listen, we're in a bad way right now. And you can always turn things around, but, you know, you find a way, and Miami is a good team, but you need to figure this out now. You are running out of opportunities to do so. You do not want to put yourself in a situation where you're having to deal with play-in games or any extra games or anything like that. You want to make sure that, you know, you lock yourself into one of these seeds and then work from there and kind of figure some things out and try and get hot. But right now, there's not much positivity going on over there when it comes to how they're playing and how they're finishing these games.
odds right now for the Mavericks to be a top six seed, 18%.
Yeah.
The odds to be a 7 or 8 seed in the West is 41%. Basically, to make the play-in be your 9 or 10 seed is 40%. So right now they're staring that play-in right in the face. And I really thought the way this thing was going, the addition of a Daniel Gafford, will be interesting to see. Does Gafford start over Lively tonight? Do they make any changes? Do they shorten the bench? I think that's something we've talked about needs to happen. And then THJ. THJ is coming off a game where, in fact, he had some of the lowest amount of minutes that he's played really all season. We talked with Bobby Corella about that yesterday at DallasMavs.com. What's the role of THJ tonight? Is he a guy where early on, if you tell it, the shot's not falling, we can't have you out there as a defensive liability? And Tim Cato had an excellent article yesterday talking about, you know, what the Mavericks want to do. Obviously, you have the corner threes. You've got Kyrie set up in the corner, whoever it might be, some of your wing defenders, THJ. Now, they've got to run when you miss a shot, and I know this is what Jason Kidd's talked about, but the offense really dictates how they play defensively, but now you're asking your wings to have to run the length of the court, which is longer than anybody else on the team has to go through. Some of their defensive practices, I think, might need a shift. I don't know during the day off if they were really able to work on anything, but we'll see tonight. I mean, the Mavericks had the best defense in the league during their run when they won 7 in a row. Since then, they've been amongst the lowest in all of basketball or dead last in pretty much every single category. So you know that they're capable of doing it. Will they be able to do it? That's the question.
No, you're right. That's the question. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Derek Jones start tonight with Gafford. I wouldn't be surprised with that. They need to kind of
find that.
I think they need to kind of find a way to shake some things up a little bit. And you know, we keep mentioning the playing a lot of players here. And maybe that's the way of with Jason Kidd. You know, maybe he's trying to figure out, okay, who can I rely on? Who can I not rely on? What combinations help? I hate when you go through stuff like this where you're trying different lineup combinations or different combinations in general, it's costing you games. You know, nobody wants to sit there and go through lineup changes and, you know, rotations, but keep losing games. So, you know, hope they figure this thing out. I have hope, but talking to some people over there though, you could hear a little direness. Is that a word? I guess maybe I just made one.
Direless?
Direness.
Direness.
A little dire.
A little direness.
They're a little dire.
Things are dire right now.
Yeah, things are a little dire there right now. I mean, it's not as hey, everything's, you know, everything's good and we're all great and we're gonna find our way out of this. You know, they keep talking about these players and effort and how much they like Jason Kidd. We're gonna see how much they like Jason Kidd. How hard are you willing to play on the defensive end? You know, but there's been times where they have played hard on the defensive end and it hasn't worked for them. You know, the opponents get a good shot or make what we would consider a kind of a lucky shot. You know, they've played some good defense. The problem is they don't play it all the time. And I think that's what they have to determine. You know, where are we now with, you know, playing that all the time, not just some of the time, all the time. And until they get to that point of playing it all the time, they're going to continue to lose games.
We also have, of course, the Rangers spring training action going on as they're playing the Diamondbacks, little World Series rematch. And we did have an update earlier today. Not great. We'll talk with Greg Maddux coming up at 3:20. We'll go around the bases at 4:45, but we got the Instagram unfollowing and following stuff happening again. It's with our guy, Jordan Montgomery.
Have we found it? Is that a true thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
When you follow or unfollow, have we proven that to be?
That it matters.
Does it matter?
I don't think we've actually proven that it matters.
We have some numbers that can prove that if you're one of those players, guys or gals that follow or unfollow, do you actually follow through?
Yeah, I don't think it's a good thing when the apparently Jordan Montgomery has unfollowed the Rangers and he has followed the Dodgers.
The Dodgers.
And I'm getting real sick of the Dodgers making all these damn moves, man. It's really grinding my gears. But that would be a bit of a kick in the you-know-what. Now, it depends, obviously, on what the deal is. We know the Rangers have kind of their price of what they can go. We were hoping if this goes to that one-year pillow deal, and it seems like some of the conversation was it was trending towards that, but the Dodgers are one of these teams where they have such deep pockets, you don't know. Maybe they do end up saying, you know what, Jordan Montgomery, we'll give you what you want. We're all in. They certainly aren't all in. There's the all-in word again. They certainly are. Maybe he does end up with the Dodgers. That would really stink.
Yeah, it would stink because I felt like, and this is where learning about baseball, I tried to apply football knowledge to baseball, and I thought the longer that it went without him being signed, that he would return back.
And I agreed with
and, you. And I was in that point where I was honestly cheerleading. Like, come on, nobody signed him. And I was like, oh, Boston's involved. I'm like, no, Boston. And then they had an injury. You know, they lose a pitcher. I'm thinking, oh, no, Boston's going to jump back into this thing. But maybe that's not the case. I you know, the Rangers have, we interviewed CY. He really didn't have a whole lot to say about the situation. And, you know, maybe they have factored that they've moved on. And, you know, and so as a fan, I need to accept that. I need to trust CY because he's delivered. And any moves that he makes, it's probably for the best of the team. And so I have faith in him. And if they don't feel like that Jordan Montgomery can come in here and help them right now, then I have to trust that.
A couple of moves. Zach Kent, right-handed pitcher, along with Owen White, optioned to AAA Round Rock today.
Yeah, Owen White.
For the Rangers. Yeah, Owen White did not have a good outing a couple of days ago. We talked about that. He did struggle, along with Cole Wynn, who did as well. Rangers lineup.
Yeah, I talked to a buddy of mine in the league, in Major League Baseball, and I asked him, I said, hey, the thing with Cole Wynn and White, and if you took them off the 40-man, because I heard Bassick and the guys talking about it the other day, if you needed spots on the 40-man, would you take off those guys and could they get through and be on
waivers without getting claimed?
And my guy in the league said there's no way. He goes, those guys would get claimed even with warts, controllable pitchers,
young,
maybe they have some warts, but they would get claimed. So that's something you kind of feel like, could you sneak somebody through? I don't think that would happen.
Yeah, I definitely think Owen White would get claimed. It's bizarre what's happened with Cole Wynn. A couple years ago, his era was looking so – he was trending up.
He was trending up.
All-star in the minor leagues, and it has not been good the last couple of years. Marcus Semien is in the lineup leading off today. Evan Carter at 2, Wyatt Langford. Adolis Garcia is playing again, DHing, as he had a home run in his Cactus League debut yesterday. Lowe, Heim, Matt Duffy, Travis Jankowski, and Josh Smith will be your starting lineup today as the Rangers take on the Diamondback. And Jose Urena will be your right-handed starting pitcher today for the Rangers. Wonder how many innings he will end up going. I did see this, and I got to say, we got free agency happening next week with the Cowboys. I definitely have my expectations tempered right now. I think that the all-in thing was fun. It was exciting. I think you heard the reverse course from the Jones family, Steven and Jerry, when they were interviewed at the Senior Bowl and the Combine. But now there's a report out with Saquon Barkley that him to the Eagles is a real possibility, and that the Eagles and Cowboys are another team to look at as well. I just don't see I get it's a name, and the Cowboys are linked to all of these names. Derrick Henry apparently has bought a house in Dallas as well. We know he works out here in the offseason. I think it's the big booty realtor, the male one, that's really, really famous.
Yeah, I almost hit him up the other night when my crypto was running.
Yeah. see if he can hook you up.
Is he under Big Booty Realtor? Is that how you find him?
I don't think you – I mean, actually, you could probably Google Big Booty Realtor.
Yeah,
and he'd pop up.
A few of them might pop up. And let me know which ones you see.
Yeah, that's true. but, man, I don't think the Cowboys are going to have the finances to go and pay big money for any of these running backs. You look at some of the projections for these contracts. One, I wouldn't want them to do that. Two, I don't see them right. They have not made the moves. We've talked about moves that they can make to get under the cap. They haven't done it yet.
No.
And we don't have the Dak extension yet. So right now, what money do they have to go out there and do things with?
No. And that's... it's unfortunate. We all kind of were thinking about the all-in, and all-in to me was they were going to go get a veteran linebacker and, I'm talking about like a substantial one, not just a guy. They were going to go get one. And that's why we did all that work, talking about some of these free agents, because you thought maybe there would be one guy that they would go out there and find, whether that was a defensive tackle, linebacker, I kind of feel like, though, I don't think, Zach, that we, and you and I did the draft show together this morning. We didn't really, you talk about the running backs. I've never seen a free agent class this stocked with running backs that could
big
that,
name Pro Bowl All Pro caliber
that,
backs
could definitely help your team.
Yeah,
and here you are. You've got really the only flexibility you have is that maybe you could get Tony Pollard to come back. You know, and with all these quality backs on the market, and here we are just. You know, well, maybe Tony Pollard will come back. You know, Tony Pollard's probably going to get some offers, and then what he'll probably do is circle back with the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if there's so many quality backs that there won't be enough chairs. The music will stop.
Okay.
And one of the backs or two of the backs will have to sign deals because there's not enough space for them.
So it's interesting, and we talked about that yesterday, but Diana Rossini posted today on Twitter that many GMs are approaching this free agency as the running backs, linebackers, and safety markets to be similar. Lower deals than we may imagine. Depressed market for those positions. A lot of one-year deals is what she's expecting.
Yeah.
So exactly what you're saying, because there is a lot. And now, you're getting every day, it seems like there's a safety that's getting cut, but I wouldn't, like, I get it. Another person,
yeah,
like
Simmons got cut today, right?
Simmons got cut.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry just bought a house in Dallas. I understand he lives here in the offseason. I don't think that means anything about him becoming a Dallas Cowboy unless he wants to take a $2 million a year deal just to play with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be a massive pay cut. Cowboy fans today found out, and really just boxing fans in general, this blew up. AT&T Stadium to host Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul, July 20th in Arlington. Jake Paul, a lot of people probably don't even know. We did breach this topic earlier in the week, Lucius, but he fought over the weekend, won, beat an actual boxer. And then all of a sudden, here this fight's announced. I mean, you still see the training videos for Mike Tyson at 57 years old. Jake Paul is wild for this.
Yeah, he's crazy for this right here. So you think Mike's all right? Because I did go back and watch the Roy Jones fight with Mike earlier today, just watch a little bit of it, just see how he looked. That was like during the pandemic. He was kind of sluggish a little bit. Still had the power. So I don't know, bro.
He's definitely not going to be as fast, but it's
not
going
to be as fast.
All it takes is that one.
I'm going for Mike,
and he's got it.
I'm going for Mike. Yeah, Jake is a problem in the ring.
Jake's actually a good boxer.
Yeah,
I think we need to respect him. Like I know some people might not pay attention. They're like, these are gimmicks. No, Jake Paul can actually box.
Yeah,
are we expecting a knockout here?
I want to see Tyson knock him out. You shouldn't be like, you should not be fighting Mike Tyson longer than three rounds. But this is an older Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
So maybe Jake, you know, can have some strategy where I can run this guy out a little bit, you know, take him to that third round. Yeah. Hey, but it matters too. Like, is this a sanction type of situation or is this a
exhibition?
Because it matters like how long those rounds are, what those gloves are looking like. Yeah. But
I wonder, you know, because isn't most of his fights though exhibition fights? I wonder if that's his standard way of operating. That I'm only going to fight you under these conditions.
Yeah, I don't think it's really been announced or fully yet.
We don't know a lot of the details.
There's a side of me that believes this sounds crazy. That Mike Tyson's going to take this thing seriously.
He should.
And he's going to try. And he's going to try and knock this guy out.
Yeah,
he should.
He should. I mean, look, Jake Paul's 9-1. He's got a KO on Ryan Borland, who he just had on March 2nd. And you're right about that Roy Jones Jr. fight in 2020. That was an exhibition. This has got to be an exhibition. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see how many rounds, who's sanctioning this, how this ends up happening. But
Jake takes him down, bro, Jake will be a menace out here.
Big deal.
Nobody will like Jake.
Uh-uh. Yeah, that's the thing about
Canelo
it.
Canelo will come for Jake at that point. Because he's been calling for Canelo. He'll come for him at that point. Because you knocked Mike Tyson out.
Oh they'll do it for his honor?
Yeah, I think so.
Like the actual boxers?
Yeah, like, come on now. We can't allow this.
I'm with you.
I just don't think Mike Tyson would want to live with the fact that he got knocked out by Jake Paul or got defeated by him.
Yeah. In his training videos, though, Mike Tyson's training videos, when he's hit his trainer, the guy's lifting up off the ground.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's still got the power there, man.
I think I saw some training videos, Lucius. Do we need to get a little bit better sparring partner? The dude that was wearing the protective gear.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like that he just showed up.
Well, I bet it's hard to find sparring partners.
Yeah.
Who wants to get in there and spar with Mike?
Hold this while Mike Tyson hits it.
Well, but he's got like a hockey goalie chest protector on.
It's still gonna hurt.
Kidney pads.
That's still gonna hurt.
And he just kind of looks like they can get a little bit better in shape, guy. Right?
I mean, I think he can still go or at least around where that is some vicious. Like he can be quick with it, man. This is interesting. I'm actually intrigued. I know a lot of people are laughing this off, like this is a joke.
Yeah. Hey, but you look, if Mike Tyson hits him, puts that power on him, Jake might fold. He might get panicked on the trigger after that. Like, oh my gosh,
who is
some power there?
Who is the crazier of the two,
Mike?
Yeah, hands down.
Hands down, Mike?
Yeah. No doubt.
Okay.
Yeah. Jake's actually a pretty good business guy.
I think
I've heard some of this. Like, he's actually not a big jerk. All right, we're definitely up against it. We'll get back on the clock. Let's hodgepodge it coming up next, leading into G-Bag of the Day. 877-881-1053. We're going to the Boat Expo tomorrow. What's the biggest fish you've ever caught? We had a world record broken. That's next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, getting close to G-Bag of the Day here. What's the largest fish you've ever caught? We're going to be out there at the Boat Expo tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. You can join us as we broadcast live, dive into the boating life at the Dallas Boat Show. 2 to 7, we'll be out there. Visit BoatExpo.com for tickets. DallasBoatExpo.com for tickets. We'll see you there. That's just right up the street from where we are here in our Odyssey Studios at Dallas Market Hall.
Market Hall.
Blast tomorrow.
Is it Market Center? Market Hall.
Is it Market Center?
I know.
Dallas Market Hall?
Market Hall.
I think it's Dallas Market Hall.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
That's what I thought, too.
But then again, you know what? I could have been wrong, and it wouldn't be the first time. Looking at you, Mavericks. Looking at you.
Yeah.
Just trying to wipe the egg off my face for the Western Conference take that I took. But if they can beat the tonight, maybe we're back on things. All right. I know you're both a couple of fishermen, Lucius and Brian.
The fisher of men.
So we just had a 9-year-old, okay?
Oh,
9-year-old kid
no.
in Texas.
Really?
Yes.
Congrats.
Who just caught a 51.5-pound blue catfish. That is the Texas fishing record.
Wow.
51.5-pound blue catfish.
Catching a creek? Where do we catch this thing?
I don't know that I have that listed. I'm sure if I
here's me trying to get the backstory.
Yeah, they didn't give away their honey hole.
It was in San Angelo.
Oh. Chicken fried steaks in San Angelo are really good there, too, by the way.
Yeah. So the previous fishing record was 50.7 pounds. So he was able to just slightly beat this thing. But I don't know. Do you guys have any, like, claim to fame? Like, holy crap, this is the biggest fish I've ever caught.
I'll tell you that 51-pound catfish would be
an
all-day
insane,
fight, wouldn't it, Lucius?
Dude.
That would pull your back out trying to pull that thing to the surface. That thing, yeah.
The world blue catfish record, 54 pounds, 9 ounces. That's the world record.
Yeah, I probably caught maybe, I was young too, maybe like a 15 to 20 pound catfish. Yeah. And it looked 80 to me. Because I'm so young. I'm like, you're almost the biggest fish ever. But I've never caught like a fish that big since other than maybe Corsicana on that lake out there.
Yeah.
There's some pretty big hybrid bass.
The hybrids, yeah.
And they're pretty big. They're large. They're long.
I've been on deep sea fishing.
Okay.
And we've done...
pulled a marlin.
Marlin.
Yeah.
We pulled a marlin, but we tagged it. So I don't know how big it was. We got to the side of the boat, and they tag them. So you don't know the weight. And I've done marlins, sailfish have been another.
Have you gone... Oh, you haven't been to Alaska.
I have not
done
that.
Have you been to Alaska, Lucius?
I'll tell you where I want to go.
Sir.
I'll tell you where I want to go fishing. I mean, Alaska fishing is different because that's to me, that would be a lot of fly, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not a fly fisherman.
And the fly fishing's difficult, but you can also go out halibut fishing.
Yeah.
Tuna.
You could do. Yeah.
So I did the halibut fishing. I got to go when I was 13 with my grandfather, caught an 80-pound halibut.
Okay.
Wow. But the other guy that we were with, and his name was Guy, 200-pound halibut.
Wow.
Like, these things are massive,
yeah,
massive fish. But that's some good eating right there.
Yeah, I've done the thing where I've done it off the Keys and then in Cabo and places like that where you do the deep sea fishing. But like, I tell you where I want to go fishing, Lucius. I want to go to Cuba. Hmm. People always talk about the fishing is really, really good in Cuba. I've heard the fishing in Costa Rica is really good too.
Oh, I would believe that.
So there's a couple of spots that I want to hit, but I kind of find myself on lakes with bass. I don't do the catfishing stuff. I do that. I like to bass fish.
I do it both. Yeah. I have like two of the catfish poles out there on the water.
Yeah.
And then I have my other pole, you know, hitting the bass.
Then hitting the bass, yeah.
Bow, bow.
Yeah. Striper fishing's fun.
Striper is fun. Those will run.
Texoma and all that. So, yeah. But that fishing's, I really do enjoy fishing. I do a lot.
So the
51
and a half pounds is 9-year-old.
Nine-year-old.
And it was at a Twin Butters Reservoir.
Oh,
just
wow.
Just outside of San Angelo.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. So this by far, an exciting catch, no doubt. So, and we got some people texting in like about the record. But according to the San Angelo District of Texas Parks and Wildlife, they announced the record-setting bluefish catch last week. It is. This is a record. So good for him. Good for the 9-year-old. The picture, I mean, this fish.
Biggest blue cat.
Blue cat.
You know, there's all types blue of cat channels and everything.
Yeah. Just specifically a blue cat. Yeah. And this fish looks like it could have eaten the kid. I mean, they have it
laid
in front of him. He's got a picture next to it.
I'm sure that
it's amazing.
I'm sure that he walked out of there super happy but sore.
Yeah.
A little kid like that pulling up a fish that big.
Amazing.
I'm sure he had to horse that thing.
Yeah,
to
this
get
is
it
specifically
surface.
The blue catfish.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, there's a 143-pounder that was caught in Virginia back in 2011. You know, we've got other catfish that have been caught that weigh way more. But
probably caught on a hot dog weenie.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, something crazy like
something
that.
Something crazy,
Some marshmallow.
Yeah.
Something weird.
Something weird got it, yeah.
Unreal. Good for him. All right, let's slide into the G-bag of the day, shall we?
I did catch an alligator snapping turtle one time, too.
Oh. Did you cut the line?
Did you keep it?
I had to cut the line.
You
we got
cut,
it on the ground.
Cut, no, no, man. You cut the line.
You got to cut the line. You can't get close to it.
No, there's
you
no.
You want to save the damn thing, but I can't do it, bro.
I can't do it, man. Bro,
you're not letting me.
You're wearing a hook. You're going to wear a hook the rest of your days.
That's it. This is part of you now.
Yeah.
You different. All right, G-Bag of the Day. Our winner so far is Charles Barkley.
All right.
Oh, my gosh. President Trump, Mr. Trump. Donald Trump, whatever you want to call him out of here. Big D, the Teflon Don, whatever you want to call him out here. He said, the blacks, they love my mugshot shirts. And Charles Barkley is not a fan of that.
You know who embraced it than anybody else? The black population. It's incredible. You see black people walking around with my mugshot. You know, they do shirts. Yeah.
When you heard that, what did you think? Big sigh.
First of all, I'm just going to say this. If I see a black person walking around with Trump mugshot, I'm going to punch him in the face.
Charles.
No, Gail.
You really can't say that because, A, you don't mean that.
I mean that sincerely. I'm going to just tell you something.
And then you will be arrested for assault. And then what?
I'm going to bail myself out and go celebrate.
Jeez. Go celebrate.
Jeez. And I believe him, too.
I absolutely believe him.
I do believe him. It is Charles.
He'll be walking out of jail with a big cigar in his mouth.
Yeah.
No question.
And that would be the shirt.
That would be the shirt.
Former Golden State GM Bob Myers.
That's Bob Myers.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. He was on the broadcast for the game.
Yes.
And he joked about Draymond. Listen to this.
What difference have you seen from him, Bob, since he's come back from suspension?
Well, the best news is if he gets kicked out after another technical, I don't have to go talk to him down in the locker.
Jeez. Wow. They're cool, apparently.
Yeah,
they're all
they're
good.
Cool. Yeah.
But wow.
I don't have to talk to him about this.
Wow.
Big win.
I don't blame him.
Bob got a nice round of applause from the crowd there.
Yeah.
They recognized me. Had to stand up and waved everybody.
I think Bob said Draymond's jersey should be in the rafters.
He did?
Yeah, so hey.
He did. It's funny, Steve Kerr in the Post. They asked him about what it was like, you know, hanging around with Bob and all that. And he goes, who? He kept going, who? Who are you talking about? What are you talking about? Yeah.
What did you say?
He goes, and he's like, yeah. And then he finally kind of gave in and said, oh, no, Bob, it's great to have him back, you know, that kind of thing.
Fans go through a lot.
They do.
A lot of emotions during the game,
no kidding,
during the season, during the off seasons, drafts, you know, just everything. got an OKC fan. He crashed on out, y'all. Yep. Crashed that out over the loss to the Lakers.
Ooh.
Did the Lakers really beat OKC that bad? My man crashed out. Listen to this.
Where it makes no sense to me, bro. None at all. We got Isaiah Joe, 40% three-point shooter, missing open threes, and they got D'Lo making right contest threes. Oh, night. That stinks. It sucks. Austin Reeves making rainbow threes. Oh, night. That stinks. All of them suck, and they're making these bullshit threes. What the is this? Oh my gosh, bro.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what the. This is magnet ball, man. It's magnet ball, man. It's pissing me off. Oh my gosh. I hate losing like that to the f-ing Lakers. And then you're going to have them f-ing Lakers fans come out of nowhere talking about I want the Thunder the first. Do you see the f-ing shots you're making? D'Lo's not touching that in the playoffs.
Let him know.
I like when they voice crack when they do.
It's almost higher and higher.
Almost to the point of crying.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Man, if your girl hear you doing that from another room, she's like, oh, God.
They're walking. They're not even staying with you if you're like that. God. Aren't they? If they hear you that emotional about something, they're not. They're walking.
Nah, work husband is winning if you sound that emotional.
Yeah.
Your girl get to hear it. You got to do that with your homeboys or
something. Yeah, yeah.
How about this one? How about a bro pastor? Yesterday was a church day. Hope you got your blessing. Shout out to Reverend Ike. Shout out to Reverend Ike. We got a bro pastor. What's up, bro?
Oh, no.
He's talking about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh.
We were talking about Lot, and we were talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, and we were talking about how Lot chose to go pinch his tits. Excuse me. Pitch his tents is what I said. And you heard nothing else here. This is church, my gosh. So he was pitching his tents close to Sodom and Gomorrah. And so what happened was, when he did that, he was getting too close to evil. And what I was challenging you guys to not do was to pick friends that were going to lead you to... Man, stop laughing!
Whoa.
All
he's
right?
Laughing too!
Man! Am I red right now? Holy cow!
Tense.
Yeah, pinching.
Tense.
Okay.
It took
this
me,
is another bench situation
it
here.
It took me.
I've seen y'all. Y'all was confused for a second.
I was very confused.
I was confused, and then all of a sudden he said tense. And I went, oh.
Okay.
It was the bench situation.
He got mad.
Yeah, yeah, because honestly, I thought he was saying it too.
Yeah,
The beep, we heard the beep, and then I said, wait a minute, wait, is that tense?
Oh, we're talking about how Lot chose to go pinch his tits.
Oh.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Oh, did he say it, and then he said...
No, he said tense, but the way he said tense...
Yes.
Sound like...
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Had a little accent on it.
A little accent.
I decided to bleep you because it was so close.
It was very close.
I left it alone. But I like how you got mad at the congregation.
The congregation were laughing at
you. Stop laughing!
Stop laughing! But you're giggling too, bro.
Pastor Bassick.
And one more before we get out of here.
Yeah.
They said this pastor went Porky the Pig.
Oh. Midst of the storm, we can proclaim to it and say, even in the... But the Eve meant for evil, you turn it for our good.
That's all, folks.
Even in the but the Eve meant for evil.
Oh man, that's good. Okay, should we vote?
Yes, please.
All right, Lucius, we got Barkley, our reigning champ, Bob Myers on the broadcast, at the OKC fan freak out, youth pastor on the tents, and Porky the Pig, that other pastor there, which is great. Lucius, who are you voting for?
Bro pastor.
Bro pastor, yeah. Okay. Brian?
I'm going to vote for the, I kind of combo platter the two, but I'm going to go.
Ahead.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the bro pastor.
I'm in on that. Let's combo platter. So for a vote of 3-0, the combo platter's done it. We got the tense pastor and the Porky the Pig guy. That is your G-Bag of the Day champion. And, of course, we'll replay that today, 5:20 an extended edition of LA Live during the Expressway. Shout out to Frankel and Frankel. And the G-Bag Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Krusty's Corner coming up next. Where are we going?
Hey, have you ever wondered what happened to the quarterbacks that were drafted ahead of Dak? We'll talk about those cats next.
Thank you, Lucius. Rangers up 2-0 over the D-backs right now in the top of the third in spring training action. Wyatt Langford, sack fly that scored Marcus Semien, and Gerald Walsh with an RBI single that allowed Evan Carter to score there in the first inning. We will have NFL News of the Day coming up at 3 and Greg Maddux at 3:20. But right now, it's time for Krusty's Corner. Here he is, King of the Krusty's, Broadus.
Thank you very much there, Zach. We appreciate that. Did a draft show with you today.
That was fun.
Good job on your part there getting that. We played a Would You Rather. So I threw some names at our guys over there, and they did a good job of navigating. It just didn't do like first round, second round guys. We threw some third, fourth.
We did. We had disagreements. I mean, it was fun.
If you go back, it's on the DallasCowboys.com, their platform. So after our show today, if you're out working out, walking, doing something, riding around the car, give the draft show a listen every Tuesday and Thursday. We're inside like 50 days right on the draft.
Yeah, we're I think it's 49.
49 days.
49 days.
I'm sure at 105.3 The Fan, we are going to have some big-time draft coverage rolling for you for those days, too.
It's going to be fun.
Be a lot of fun.
Thursday through Saturday.
Yeah.
And then maybe pick.
Yeah, maybe some stuff before that, too. Maybe we'll have a get-together.
Okay, let's have a get-together.
You never know. We might schedule something.
All right.
They might determine that, hey, we can all get together and talk about this.
We're in on that.
All right. Zach, Lucius, you ever guys wonder whatever happened to every quarterback drafted ahead of Dak Prescott in the 2016 draft?
Yeah. I mean, Dak certainly ended up being the best of the bunch.
Yeah. Best of the bunch. I'm talking about, did you say he was better than Jared Goff?
I think at the time he was better than Jared Goff. The fact that Goff now might have a case to be made.
Case to be made.
After the last two seasons,
pulling your chain there a little bit. But yeah, I mean,
I think there's plenty of people that would take Dak over Goff.
I'll tell you what, I felt like that Goff's career was going just completely south.
Yeah.
You know, how
McVay quits on him.
And you're like, man, but he went to the right spot. He went to the absolute right spot in Detroit, and boy, he plays a high level at Detroit, and congratulations to him. Now, the one that was the interesting one, the next one would have been Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
What do you think happened with Carson Wentz?
The injury. I mean, he's just never the same player. And then I think that, I hate saying this when it comes to people that I've never met him, but it seems as though he's a mentally fragile individual.
You know what? Man, I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly what I was thinking. His career peaked really, really early.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, though, he got hurt. And, I mean, he threw for 3,700 yards as a rookie. And then he got injured on that Super Bowl run in 2017.
MVP caliber season.
Tore the ACL. And then he just wasn't the same. And I feel like, though, the tougher it got for him, the harder it was on him emotionally,
mm-hmm.
and he couldn't handle that, and he was trying to hide behind that, and he couldn't. But I think that was the biggest thing about him.
Yeah,
I think he could have rallied if he was more mentally tough.
Because he kept getting opportunities. Washington gave him an opportunity to start. Indianapolis gave him an opportunity to start, and it just never worked out for him.
Never did. The next quarterback that was picked at 26th overall, my guy, Paxton Lynch.
Man, so you really were high on Paxton Lynch. That was the Cowboys guy, too. I'll never forget Jerry the next morning saying, man, we should have been more aggressive going up there to get the mustache man himself, Paxton Lynch. Looked like a pirate.
Let me tell you what I learned about Paxton Lynch. And this is the problems that we all deal with when we make these evaluations as media evaluators, that we don't get to talk to the teams. We didn't get to go to Memphis or talk with coaches or have those kind of connections.
Yeah.
I learned about this guy that football was not important to him at all. That he was last in, first out in the complex kind of guy.
You can't have that as a starting quarterback.
I mean, my buddies in Denver, I was like, well, man, John Elway knows what he's doing with these quarterbacks. You know, I'll show you. Yeah, Paxton Lynch, yeah. That was my justification. God, he was awful. But he did not love football. And I don't think you could be a quarterback and not love football.
I agree with you.
I just don't.
You've got to be the first one in and the last one out if you want to have success in the NFL.
Yeah. That was bad. The next one who was selected was Christian Hackenberg.
Oh, geez.
Remember him? Penn State?
Freshman year at Penn State with Bill O'Butchin. I thought, damn, Christian Hackenberg is like the next Andrew Luck type dude. This guy's going to be a massive can't-miss type of prospect. And then every year, he just progressively got worse.
Yeah. After three seasons at Penn State, this is the statement, Christian Hackenberg was eventually selected by the Jets with the 51st pick overall in the draft. He struggled to try and compete with other quarterbacks, and he ended up never playing a snap in his two-year career.
Gosh.
Now, the Cowboys have had... The Cowboys have had
goodness, man.
A player in the second round that remember Jacob Rogers, the offensive tackle from he's from Oxnard, California, with the USC.
Okay.
He's a tackle. This was the one where you talk about a player. Here's a little side story for you. Drafted the second round. Tom Siskowski, who found Larry Allen out there in Sonoma State. Tommy knew offensive linemen. Him and Jeff Ireland. They went out to USC to do Jacob Rogers, to do the workup on him. And when he came back, I'll never forget the draft meeting where Parcells was like, yeah, this Jacob Rogers, I'll tell you what, man, I really like him. Tom Siskowski goes, Bill, he's everything you hate in an offensive lineman. He said that in a meeting. He is everything you hate in an offensive lineman. And we still drafted him in the second round.
Why the hell? Do you remember if there was anybody else on the board that you were considering?
I'd have to go back and look at that. But that was a second round pick. And the Cowboys have had a history of just.
The second round has not been kind to
not
them.
Been like kind
outside
at all.
Of DeMarcus Lawrence.
But think about drafting a quarterback at 51 and him never playing a snap for you.
And Diggs, I guess. But yeah, gosh, that's terrible.
It's terrible. Jacoby Brissett. Was the next player that was taken.
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett's had himself a nice little career.
Jacoby Brissett was taken by the New England Patriots at 91.
Might be going back to New England. That's the rumors right now.
There you go. He had the privilege to learn from the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady. He was given a chance to lead his own team a year later when he was traded to the Indianapolis Colts after Andrew Luck went down with an injury. Throughout his eight-year career, Brissett has mostly been a backup quarterback, but at least he does have a Super Bowl title to his name.
It's true.
Do you remember much about him coming out at all?
At NC State?
Yeah.
NC State's kind of, for a little bit, was a little pipeline there with Phillip Rivers started it.
And they had Russell Wilson play there before he went to
Wisconsin. Pretty good quarterbacks. No, I don't remember much about him coming out, but him, Jimmy Garoppolo, both there. It seemed like the Patriots had themselves quite some good backups. But Jacoby Brissett might be one of the best, if not the best, backup quarterbacks that you can have in the league. Like, you know what he's going to get.
You know what you're going
to
get.
You're going to have a chance to win, and he's basically a 500-type starter.
Yeah. The next player selected before Dak Prescott, Cody Kessler, USC.
Oh, gross. Yeah, Jared could have told you that Cody Kessler was going to stay.
Yeah. He was selected two picks after Brissett in the third round. Cody Kessler ended up getting selected by the Cleveland Browns. I remember watching tape with Kevin Turner and Jeff Kavanaugh. And we were watching USC tape of Cody Kessler. And it was a two-minute drill.
Oh, I remember this.
And they were down by double digits. Cody Kessler drove them into scoring range with a touchdown. It took all 2 minutes for them to score.
And you needed two scores.
He methodically, with needing two scores, completely bled the clock. He got a touchdown. But I remember thinking, how could you draft a guy like this?
Oh, gosh, that's disgusting.
Yeah. He did get a chance to play for the Dolphins, New England, and Philadelphia, but the last time he played for a team was 2020. Cody Kessler, my man who used a complete two-minute drill to score a touchdown. The last player that was taken before Dak Prescott was Connor Cook from Michigan State. He was the 100th player taken in the draft. Connor Cook was the final quarterback, as we said, before Dak Prescott landed with the Oakland Raiders. As the third quarterback on the team's depth chart, Cook wasn't given any chance to cook in NFL games. He was signed by the Carolina Panthers, Cincinnati Bengals, and Lions in 4 months before taking his talents to the XFL, where he played one season with the Houston Roughnecks. And that was a guy that the Cowboys kind of liked, too.
Cowboys wanted him. They would have drafted him over Dak if he were on the board.
That's amazing.
That's why you got to wonder. You know, I've always felt grass might not be always greener. Like, this team's kind of lucked into the Dak situation and the Romo situation.
Yeah. You've had people that, like, the whole thing with, you know, they I've said this before, they had with Jameel Showers.
Yeah.
Scouts kind of thought they had Dak Prescott and Jameel Showers. And it was Wade Wilson who said, no, boys. We need this Dak Prescott. So, hey, all it does is take one to stand up, and Wade Wilson stood up, man. But a lot of those names, a lot of garbage there before Dak Prescott.
A lot of garbage.
But thank you, man, for letting me take the journey.
Thank
you.
Shout out to Dak for that, absolutely. Krusty's Corner every day at 2:40, 2:45-ish here in the G-Bag Nation. We got Greg Maddux, MLB Hall of Famer, World Series champion, brother of course, Mad Dog, our own Mike Maddux here with your World Series champion Texas Rangers coming up at 3:20. Let's do some NFL news of the day next. Could this be a landing spot for Mr. Unlimited, a potential Giant retirement and more cap casualties? That's next on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.